we'll go with it from there. So it's all yours, Peter.
Hey, guys. I'm so happy to be here. I'm a little bit sad, too, because my colleague, Kristen Wendell, got a little bit sick. And she's got the flu, we think, and is on a plane headed back to Atlanta. So you got me. So, you know, I have been doing ABM for a few years. Kristen and I actually have worked together at four companies over the course of, I'm not disclosing how many years. And a few years back, we had the chance to start a great project at a company called Version One. It was a company that, you know, basically, you know, our need was to move upmarket. And we started doing ABM actually before we even realized that we were doing ABM. Like, I think we need target accounts. I don't think we know all of the accounts that are in this market. Our database was primarily driven by inbound. Okay. We didn't have a total picture. We ended up winning the ABM program of the year, as John said. And it was really exciting. We started, you know, speaking in public and presenting our program. And, you know, just a great partnership that we've had over the years of just like coming up with new things. Lots of partners in the ABM community and the marketing community that helped us along the way. So the goal of today is, I work at Full Story now, but this is not an ABM product, all right? Many marketers, we have customers here who use Full Story. There's got to be at least one in the room. Who uses Full Story? There you go. Is it awesome? All right. Are you in product or marketing? Okay. Use it on your website? Awesome. Cool. So I'm at Full Story now. Basically, Full Story is a product that captures digital experiences. It was founded by a group from Google. So a bunch of Google engineers thought about this in a certain way. And actually created a way to sort of Google all digital experiences. So that's e-commerce sites, SaaS products, websites. So we've got 5 or 6 personas that use the product. And our goal is to create better online experiences, right? So it's all about understanding the user, what they're experiencing in your product. Understanding like what doesn't work. So if you've launched a new product, you're like, I have this great new feature. We created this button that everybody is gonna click for sure, and they're gonna know what to do. You can use our product to understand that it doesn't work and then collaborate on fixing that. If you launch new Marketo landing pages, we do this every day at Full Story, and you think, okay, this is intuitive. We know everyone's going to fill out our form. You can actually use our product to see and understand and find bugs and see that actually our button's not working there. Send it to an engineer, collaborate and get it fixed. So we have about 3,000 customers. We're located in Atlanta. And, you know, Kristen and I have had the opportunity to sort of take everything we've learned over the last few years and bring it to this company. We were primarily a product-led growth company in the beginning. And so building this apparatus around ABM has been an interesting, challenging project for us. And sort of had to bring everything that we've learned to bear. And it's been great. So why ABM in the first place? Essentially, it's like, do you want to point your laser at the part of the market that fits your ideal customer profile? Or is broad-based marketing through channels where you can't specifically target working for you? It's possible that it does work for you, that you've got a great business. But typically, we run into these problems like, okay, our inbound programs are getting us a lot of SMB customers. And we've done our research, and we understand actually our product is built more for the mid-market or the enterprise. And we suspect that we can get a higher deal value. So ABM is a way that you can take that spotlight, identify those accounts, and market specifically to them, right? I think one of the things that we've overlooked is that it actually creates a better customer experience. That's something that's very important to us at FullStory. Okay? So if you're receiving the same message as everybody else, right, same programs, it's never personalized, it never really seems like anybody's talking to me. You show up at an event, nobody from the company really recognizes you or knows who you are, doesn't try to engage. You know, that may not feel like a great experience, okay? But when the communications that's coming to me, if I see a promotion on LinkedIn and it is for a CMO and it addresses a problem that I want to solve, okay, I'm much more likely to respond. So I think, in addition, you know, it's about speaking the right message to the right person at the right account, but it's also, we have a lot of tools that help us to understand that we're talking to the right people and we're talking to them at the right time. So I'll get into that. So these are the 10 lessons that we learned. We literally counted 57. We had to pick the top 10, so I'm going to give it a shot. Anybody want to hear all 57? I'm writing a book next year. So lesson number one, which I kind of touched on, is, you know, do this for your business, right? The title of this session is, you know, how to do it right. The play on words is that the only right way to do it is the way that's right for your business, okay? Some companies, you may have a great demand gen program, and you may identify 5 strategic accounts, and you really want to put all your muscle into those 5 strategic accounts. You may have another situation, and I've been in a variety of these, where it's like, yeah, we're getting a lot of SMB business and we want to move mid-market and there's 3,000 accounts there. So ABM can help you do that. You may have a particular need to run ABM programs to your customers, right? It's all about whatever your business goal is. And I think the way I like to think about this, so you come to a conference like this, you know, you see a lot of models and templates. I'm going to show you some today. But don't accept any dogma around it. Like, be a free thinker and work the problem. You think about what your specific needs are in your business. And if something like account-based is going to work for you, then do it. Okay? And I'll show you a few ways how. What are some worthy goals? Right? We want to move up market, as I mentioned. We want to get a higher ASP. Maybe we've been doing a really good job of acquiring one team at a particular, you know, at a particular type of company, but we have to, you know, we want to move across the market. I mean, across the buying units in that. You want to get a higher ASP. If you've launched a new product, many of us, I'm sure, have been through this. And that may be a different type of company. We used to do healthcare, but now we've got something that's really good for financial services. Or we used to do a really good job with developers at smaller companies, and now we got a new thing that product management at much bigger companies would want to use. So you can choose those accounts and you go after them. Again, I think improved customer experience and retention is maybe a goal that we don't talk about as much in ABM. Like, it's very focused on acquisition. What if you, you know, focused a major initiative or a program on making sure that all those customers that you spend a lot of money on, or your top 100 customers, are engaged, they're receiving product information, we're telling them how to succeed with our product, Okay, you could do ABM and it could be all to your customer base or your top 100. These are worthy goals. If, you know, resist the urge to just do ABM. If you don't start with what does my particular company need? You know, why are we doing this? If you don't have a goals that are aligned throughout your company, across marketing and sales, customer success, all the way up to the CEO, you might be in trouble. Like it's, you know, I probably started this the wrong way in the beginning. I usually say like, we sort of decided to do it. We had this Skunk Works project. We just wanted to see if we were campaigning to a list of 100 accounts, could we actually succeed with some new tactics, right? We did it, we succeeded. We saw engagement spiked up. Then we had the courage, you know, to say, maybe we should change our entire model. Everything we talk about in our strategic meetings every day is about getting a bigger, you know, bigger deal size, moving up in the enterprise. But we found that we had something, you know, to work with. I did it the hard way. It was a surprise in the beginning. And I had to do a lot of work to advocate for ABM. But 4 years have gone by. There's a lot more awareness about this. And I think you always start with the business goals. Okay. Next lesson to, and this is to marketers. I really think it's important for the marketer, you know, to be a leader within the organization on this front. I mean, it's called account-based marketing. I call it account-based because it doesn't feel like, you know, it doesn't quite feel right to say account-based marketing. I'm uncomfortable with it, you know, because it's, if you're not working hand in hand with marketing and sales, sales development, I'll dig into a little more later, customer success, if your CEO and your CFO are not on board, then, you know, you might struggle, okay? It takes a lot of energy for a marketing leader, whether you're the CMO or your marketing manager has taken this on, to say, this is a new way. We're not just going to count the number of MQLs we have. I'm not going to be driven every day by trying to get 5,000 MQLs and tinkering with our lead scoring and doing all those things that we do, but we're going to do a new way. And that takes some education and buy-in internally from your company. I think having been through this at three companies, some signs and symptoms, I think I'm going to have to read the disclaimer up here. So, symptoms of entrenched lead-only, lead-based practices, right? The disclaimer is some companies should be lead-based. We all use leads. If you don't use leads at all, I mean, raise your hand. I think that would be interesting. Okay, we got one. Love to talk to you. Yeah, but most organizations do, right? Almost all companies use leads, but if you experience headaches, frequent conflict with others, lack of focus, bloated spend with no attributable results, please see an ABM expert. All right. It's just, you know, it's not about volume anymore when you're going after a specific set of accounts. So some things that I look for in a company, you can even get everybody on board, but if you're always talking about inbound and outbound, right? I just have like an allergy to that now. You know, it's like you walk in the door, it's like, yeah, all of our business is outbound. Can't wait for marketing to run some awesome programs for us. And you dig in a little bit and you're like, wait a minute, like 90% of these opportunities started with a trial. How is that outbound? Well, I'm outbounding to inbound, right? Why do you call it outbound? It's because that's the name of my group. We're outbound. Yeah, but it's inbound. So I like to do it another way. I'll tell you about it later. I think your database is, if it's been built off of reps, just clicking buttons and loading in accounts, right? Or inbound leads, you probably have some work to do. I think if there's no marketing and sales stand-up of any kind, I love to have them once a week. Love to look at my list of hot, you know, accounts, engaged accounts, big deals in the pipeline, customers coming up for renewal. If we're not talking about that stuff and how marketing can support, you know, you're probably in the old way. And I'm going to say, like, some companies, the old way works. You're fine. If you're doing great, you're killing your numbers. Everybody wants to sign up for a demo every day. Like, keep going. No dogma here. Free thinking. If it works for you, that's awesome. Right? 9 out of 10 people in software companies that I talk to can benefit from the ABM strategy. I'd like to say 10 out of 10, but it's, I don't know if that's credible. Right? Finger pointing. Who has experienced finger pointing? Right? There's not enough demand. Okay. You know, sales isn't following up with our leads. We've all heard it. You know, I just think this sounds like companies that I worked at 7 years ago. And I'm trying to implement a system that is more effective. I've done well with it so far. The next lesson, measure from day one. So when you do have an account-based strategy, I've talked to a lot of marketers. And the part that they struggle with the most is measurement. How do we prove that this account-based program is working for us? Right? You got to get your measurement methodology and the whatever tools you need in before you start. And it's really exciting to show up at a board meeting and say, this was our engagement before we started. And now look at our engagement. Right? I'll show you some ways to do that later. This is the evolution of the account-based scorecard that Kristen and I built back in version 1 in 2015. I think you can find this, something like it, in a couple of different software platforms today. I have been doing this on a quarterly basis in Excel for 4 years until recently. You know, it's kind of hard. Fortunately, we have some great tools for doing that now. Started out pretty simple. It's designed for my business. There's no cookie cutter ABM scorecard that's going to like solve all of your or answer all of your questions. But you can, scorecard means simplified, right? So it started really simple. And then I had all of these needs. Like, yeah, well, what about this? So it got a little more complicated. And I started, the idea that I really like to do with this is I actually measure the progression of accounts based on individual cohorts. So if we have our Q4 launch, we measure those. How are they progressing all the way across the funnel? I spend about 90% of my time talking about account progression across a funnel and very little time talking about MQL to SQL conversion. I do it. I mean, we do it. We've got a person who does that. I know the numbers. It's important. But again, I've been in the boardroom, shown this way more interesting than my MQL, SQL conversion number. I just moved 150 accounts into pipeline. You know, we just converted 50 accounts to customers, and the ASP is 3 times as high as it was before. I mean, those are really fun things to say. Right? So measure from day one, figure out your ABM scorecard, right? Very simply, your tiers of accounts or your cohorts and how they're progressing. Unengaged, aware, pipeline, converted to customer, and you can keep going with it. Right? I'll show you more on that a little later in the presentation. Right now, what we do every day is we look at an ABM scorecard in Engageo. What a relief. All right, I used to have to wait till the end of the quarter. It's like, where's my Excel spreadsheet? 5 times a day, I look at it within a software platform. I also happen to be at a company that's quite nerdy, think ex-Google. And we got a guy who's rigged up the most advanced scorecard. It's not even a scorecard. It's like some kind of data science. So everything I'd ever want to know about my target accounts in Looker. So we pull in different data sources. We've got MQLs, PQLs, everything going on in there. That's more like if I have a question and I really want to dig into the detail. So this is really how I manage my ABM business. Every cohort has a funnel, and I can add up and I can see every day how much, you know, how much opportunity have I converted into pipeline? Big difference from what I was doing a few years ago. I think the other important thing that I feel is essential, particularly when I come into a new company, is to do my funnel math. All right? So what are our revenue goals? How many opportunities do I need to create every single month? Have we thought about that? I think a lot of companies do that, right? As a marketing team, do you know how many opportunities you need to create every month so that your business can be predictable, right? I take that number and I back it out. I've got some intelligence about how accounts convert and a formula. And I can figure out how many target accounts I need to go after, right? But I think there's a part of that that may be more difficult if you haven't launched account base yet. But you can also apply some math. Let's assume a 20% conversion rate. What if that were to happen? How many accounts would I need to target? And how many can I move into pipeline on a regular basis? Who does that kind of exercise? Right. It's eye-opening. I've done it at a couple companies, and you bring up your chart, and you guys, do you guys know that we have to create like 1,000 opportunities every month at this ASP? It's like, no, oh my God. How many leads do we need to do that? Okay, next lesson. Marketing should own data-driven target account selection. When I talk to somebody, there's no like set way of doing this, but when I talk to a lot of marketers and they say, and I ask them, well, how do you do target accounts? Well, sales picks them. You know, there are situations where that works. If you're in a company, you know your market, you're like in a specific vertical, you got it all in your database, you're not worried about it, you've had reps in the field for like 27 years, it's good. I think like growing SaaS companies, most of the time, I don't think the reps actually know all the accounts in their territories. And if they do, do they know which ones are showing signals that they're in the market to buy? And how many of them are, you know, engaged with us in some way? I actually want to go back here for a second. So this little funnel here, what I'm teaching the reps at my company to do now is they actually look at that funnel for their territory. I sat down with a guy the other day and I'm like, here's your territory. Look, it's like you have 400 accounts. It's like, really? 400? I can't work 400 accounts. I'm like, exactly. Do you want to know how many of them are showing intent for a solution like ours? Yeah, I want to see that. There's like 100. It's like, okay, I can maybe work with 100. Do you know how many are engaged with our marketing campaigns and or anybody here? Right? Yeah, I want to know that. They don't know it. We have to give it to them, right? They're just looking at it like account by account. And to roll it up and show it in a funnel like that for them is pretty eye-opening. You can get down to, I have 400 accounts, but there are like 27 that you need to work on right now. They're on our website. I saw them yesterday. They hit our pricing page. They're looking at features. I can see intent data. They're all over the place. They're definitely in market. Right? Align with your SDR or ADR or BDR, one of the DRs. My company, we call them the doctors. Right? And go after those accounts. You do this on a regular basis. So the way I think about target accounts is, I think this is a new way, a newer way. Other people talk about this. It's a newer way of expressing demand to your organization. First, know your total addressable market. It's a really important exercise for a company to go through, right? How much is out there? Is it $10 billion? Everybody says $10 billion. It's a $10 billion market. But how do you get there, right? There are ways to figure it. We have the data tools now to figure that out, right? Total addressable market is not the same to me as target market. I take my TAM. I've developed my ideal customer profile. And then I use my data tools. One of them that I use is EverString. I can create models in there. It gives me a fit score, right? And I get down to, all right, we have a $10 billion market and there's thousands and thousands of accounts, but these fit our ICP, the accounts that we want to go after. But you're not done there. You take that, so you have target market, that's fit, and you work it down to fit and intent. Who in the market is actually actively looking? And we can look for, I'll call them ambient signals, things we didn't have 5 years ago, right? Intent data to see that. So now we're getting closer to the bullseye. And the last one on there is when it's fit, intent, and engagement. It means it's an ICP account, they're in market, they're on our website. That is what we need to work on. So when using this versus we got 1,000 leads last quarter, or 10,000 or whatever it is, conversion rates in the companies that I've worked at, everybody's different. I encourage you to take a look at it, are dramatically different, all right? I'm just gonna say like at least three times as high as if you did it the other way, all right? Because why? You're actually collecting data. I got my ICP, I have intent data that I didn't have 3-4 years ago. What do? We like did these programs, right? We got webinars, who's signing up for our webinar? We're emailing our database. It's like this closed little world and now the world is bigger and we have data on all of these people to help us do this. So you work toward the bullseye. And the bullseye includes recency. It's a model. We kind of started with fit, intent, and engagement. EverString added the R, which is recency, which I think is inherent in all of this. Of course, you know, you're going to look at things that are more recent. It's a really cool acronym that makes it easy for you guys to communicate. And it's FIRE, right? This is where the fire is. Let's go there. Let's do that. And now what you can do with this is you select a pool of target, you know, I like to think of it as a pool. These are all the accounts that we'd want to work. It's the bottom of this triangle, okay? Every quarter or month or year, whatever works for your business, you can use this data to select a list of target accounts, right? It's a different way. It's data-driven versus, you know, just field-driven. You can combine that. I usually do that. I show it to the reps. Usually, in my experience, your company may be different. I'll tell you my experience. We show them the list and they're like, thank God. There's one more I want to add to that. You know, they're not going through there saying like throw out 60% of these. It's generally worked. It's worked really well. You create this pool. You pick your target accounts for a period of time. But you also, and this is an important step, it's a little bit harder. It's like, I can't even just pick 100 accounts and say, I'm going to do this for a quarter. What if somebody all of a sudden becomes active? Like, how do you process that information? Once you set up the system and you bring in the data and somebody becomes active on your website, you know, we operationalize triggers that help us sort of add them into the pile. So I may have 100, I may get 20 more during the quarter, right? I'm just making up numbers. And I can put those in a status that tells an account development rep and the marketing team, like put it into an active status. And if you're going after 8,000 accounts, I think it's very unlikely that you're gonna have an easy time like marketing to all the 8,000 accounts at one time. So think of it as cohorts. This quarter we're doing this, or every month we're doing this. And you kind of roll through them, okay? You convert some of them, you disqualify some of them pop up as active. But but you can use this data to function in this way. The next lesson, now we're getting into the good stuff. It's one of the hardest lessons I've learned is you have to align with your SDR team. All right. You can do all this stuff. You can pick your target accounts. You can launch, you know, ads and different campaigns and all of that. You may have a team that's kind of traditionally inbound, outbound. You may go and you may train them, and this is what we're doing now. They kind of tend to go like this. Like, I know how to do this. I'm just going to prospect. I'm going to find new accounts. Well, we want to set up a system. We want to operationalize a system where we can understand, we can see in reports, in Salesforce, are we actually pursuing the same accounts? Okay? It's hard work. You got to wire it up and make sure you have that kind of visibility. I would say, for sure, I believe that like a lot of the success of the programs I've run is like attributable to account development reps going after accounts, right? Even if the air cover is all there, I mean, it just, you cannot have the impact. They are the first people to connect person to person, to get out of the digital experience and actually communicate and have a conversation, right? They are the most important channel. It's the first thing I do. If I come into a company now, the first thing I do is I line up with the SDRs. Are you trained? What's your process? How can I help? Is product marketing meeting with you all the time to explain the buyer personas? Do we have a playbook? All of those things. It's absolutely critical. I don't know if you feel like you are empowered or in control of that, but you may want to look at that in your company. It's like how closely aligned, particularly operations and product marketing, are to the SDR team. Because if they're not reaching out to the companies that you're marketing to, it's not going to work. This is the model that I use. I think it's kind of, you know, it seems to make a lot of sense. But usually when I show this, you know, certainly internally at a company, because of the inbound outbound thing, it's sort of a surprise to people. It's like, no, we're going to go after target accounts. This isn't even my idea. All right, I'll say that. I got it from Craig Rosenberg from Topo. Okay, I just couldn't find his little graphic. And it's something like this. I don't know if I got it exactly right, but this is what we train on inside our company. So we have a group of people. We don't call them outbound anymore. We call them account development reps. Okay? They're going after our target accounts. And we express demand to them in the form of an MQA or engaged accounts. Actually, even selected accounts. So we say, here are our selected accounts. These are the ones assigned to you. Let's get the ball rolling. Here's what marketing is doing. Then here's which ones are engaged. These are all different statuses that they operate off of. And then here are the ones that are MQAs, your hottest accounts. We create MQAs through Engageo, which is very helpful. There are not a lot of platforms that do that. There's a couple of them. All right, and an MQA should be based on all forms of engagement. I'll get into that a little more later. And the inbound stuff is the non-target, right? We have, you know, great lead flow. We have an inbound team to handle that. It tends to be more transactional, right? The ADRs are working on those larger accounts and they're personalizing. I definitely need to speed up. All right. Let me jump to this. ABM is both acquisition and retention. All right. I don't think I'm even all the way there on this one. There's work to be done, but I know it's the right way. Okay. I've been at a lot of companies. It's like growth, growth, growth. We need to get the acquisition side right. But retention is more important, right? If you have a sales machine, you bring on companies and they leave you in a year, that's not good. That's just inefficient. It's not a good business. Here's a model you can look at to think about. This is how our ABM scorecard is developing today. So we have metrics on the acquisition side and metrics on the retention side. About engagement. Engagement is a milestone. It's not an objective. All right, there's a lot of talk of engagement. I think there's a lot of confusion about engagement. But again, it is engagement across all of your marketing channels and your actual touches. So engagement, I don't think you can capture it with just a cookie. You want to consolidate all of that information and understand how engaged you actually are with an account. There's a little model to tell you how happy you should be when you reach the certain stages, all right? Engagement is a little smiley, pipeline, big smiley, raised hands for revenue, but the party doesn't really start till you have happy customer product adoption, all right? And no party parrots until you get to long-term relationship, lifetime value, advocacy, all that kind of stuff. Keep doing ABM until you get there. This is what one of our cohorts looks like. Again, we're looking at this in Engageo, which is our ABM platform. And I'm not just looking at web engagement. I'm looking at engagement across all of the marketing categories. And it works. Show this to your sales team or your board or whatever. It's like, yeah, that investment was great. Looks good. How much pipeline did we create? All right, I'm going to keep cruising. Yes, ABM. What do I got, 2 minutes? All right. ABM and demand gen go side by side. It's kind of obvious, right? I mean, who here doesn't do like content marketing and webinars and all that sort of stuff and social? You can't really target that specifically. So think of it like I'm going to keep going with my demand gen and then I'm going to layer on some ABM on top. All right, ABM are specific things. You know you're doing it when not everybody gets the same thing, when you're actually doing something for a specific set of accounts or an account. Okay, if you're not doing that, I think it's like targeted demand gen. Right? Start with the direct, specific, and difficult steps. I'll let you take a picture of that. You can digest it later. Operationalize first is the shortcut on this, and then launch with the most direct, specific things that you could possibly do. Hit the easy button later, in my opinion. It's just the way I do it. All right, it's working pretty well. My one note on executive outreach, please don't fake it. I have people that I know. Sometimes I get like an email from them or a LinkedIn. It's like, hi, my name is Joe. I work at this, you know, our tech company. I'd like to introduce myself. And I write back, I'm like, Joe, I know you. What happened here? It's some kind of robot or something. Just don't do it. All right, ABM requires personal experiences. All right, eat with people, socialize with people, dine with people. Put your heart into it. You know, don't rely on the robot. Not everything, just, you know, scaling sometimes is not the right way to do it. People respond. When you actually are like DMing them and you're not trying to sell them right out of the box. Content, we build our content for persona, we customize for segment, and then we deliver in one-to-one content experiences. Uberflip, for example. And then the last point is always be experimenting. All right, I'll rush through this one, but you know, the way I looked at ABM in the beginning was a really agile process. I always say we kind of like took the plane off. We had no landing gear. We didn't even know if we had wings or not. We just started doing stuff, right? But we kept going. So if you try one channel, it's not really working, you know, flip it over. Try to do things that are kind of flexible. Don't just like go all in until you know something works in terms of promotion. Change the message. Try to get specific to the buyer. Make a splash at events, right? That real human-to-human engagement makes a big impression on people. And try not to do the same like boring thing that your neighbor company is doing at an event. Just be real, like eat, socialize, connect with people, be a human being. I think that's just critical. I think I'm out of time. I got a minute. All right, these are the roadblocks. Lead addiction, it's really hard, you know. You're like, working on this ABM thing for 6 months. It's like, yeah, it looks great. We're developing all this pipeline, but tell me again how many MQLs you created. This is hard. People just can't break from it. Just education, show them it works. Silos, I like to say, working in silos is easier. You just don't make as much money, right? If you're a sales rep and you're not working with marketing, I mean, they should be trying to like get everything that they can, and the good ones do. Like, they're nonstop. They're always at your desk. But, you know, marketing and sales development working together, get your CFO on board, get your CEO on board, new measurement, it'll work better. The next roadblock is content. I think this is a hard one. You know, so before you launch, think about what content you're going to launch. I have had it before. I'm like, I'm ready to go. And is the content ready? It's like, no, it's going to take like 3 months. What? I don't have content is sort of everything in the beginning, right? If you don't have the right thing to say to the right person, or if it's just generic or generalized, it can be a lot harder. Do it up front. And then lastly, I spent a lot of time on this measurement. You know, find a way to do an ABM scorecard today. You can start with Google Sheets or Excel or whatever. There are a couple tools you can do this in now. It's extremely helpful, easy to report on every day. And with that, thank you very much. And I hope that was helpful for you guys.
Excellent. Peter, will you be around for lunch or for questions afterward?
I will be. I can hang out here for a while.
Awesome.
If anybody wants to chat.
Anybody got questions, fire away. There's a survey. If you can hit survey, two-question survey, and we'll be back here at 1:30 continuing the demand gen track.